you had been scientifically trained, Mr. Dubedat, you would know how very seldom an actual case bears out a principle. In medical practice, a man may die when, scientifically speaking, he ought to have lived. I've actually known a man die of a disease from which he was, scientifically speaking, immune. But that does not affect the fundamental truth of science. In just the same way, in moral cases, a man's behavior may be quite harmless and even beneficial when he is morally behaving like a scoundrel. And he may do great harm when he is morally acting on the highest principles. But that does not affect the fundamental truth of morality.
And it doesn't affect the criminal law on the subject of bigamy.
Oh, bigamy, bigamy, bigamy. What a fascination anything connected with the police has for you all. You moralists. I've proved to you that you were utterly wrong on the moral point. Now, I'm going to show you that you're utterly wrong on the legal point. And I hope it will be a lesson to you not to be so jolly cocksure next time.
Rot. You were married already when you married her, and that settles it.
Does it? Why can't you think? How do you know she wasn't married already, too?
This is beyond everything!
She was married to the steward of a liner. He cleared out and left her, and she thought, poor girl, that it was the law if you hadn't heard from your husband for 3 years, you might marry again. So as she was a thoroughly respectable girl and refused to have anything to say to me unless we were married, I went through the ceremony to please her and to preserve her self-respect.
Did you tell her you were already married?
Of course not. Don't you see that if she had known, she wouldn't have considered herself my wife? You don't seem to understand somehow.
You let her risk imprisonment in her ignorance of the law?
Well, I could have been had up for it just as much as she. But when a man makes a sacrifice of that sort for a woman, he doesn't go and brag about it to her. At least, not if he's a gentleman.
What are we to do with this, Daisy? Oh,
go and do whatever the devil you please. Put Minnie in prison, put me in prison, kill Jennifer with the disgrace of it all. And then, when you've done all the mischief you can, go to church and feel good about it.
Louis sits down pettishly on the old chair at the easel and takes up a sketching block on which he begins to draw.
He's got us.
He has.
But is he to be allowed to defy the criminal law of the land?
The criminal law is no use to decent people. It only helps blackguards to blackmail their families. What are we family doctors doing half our time but conspiring with the family solicitor to keep some rascal out of jail and some family out of disgrace?
But at least it will punish him.
Oh, yes. It'll punish him. It'll punish not only him, but everybody connected with him, innocent and guilty alike. It'll throw his board and lodging on our rates and taxes for a couple of years, and then turn him loose on us a more dangerous blackguard than ever. It'll put the girl in prison and ruin her. It'll lay his wife's life waste. You may put the criminal law out of your head once and for all. It's only fit for fools and savages.
Would you mind turning your face a little more this way, Sir Patrick?
Sir Patrick turns indignantly and glares at him.
Oh, that's too much.
Put down your foolish pencil, man, and think of your position. You can defy the laws made by men, but there are other laws to reckon with. Do you know that you're going to die?
We're all going to die, aren't we?
We're not all going to die in 6 months.
How do you know?
Upon my soul, I will not stand this! It is in questionable taste under any circumstances or in any company to harp on the subject of death. But it is a dastardly advantage to take of a medical man. I will not allow it, do you hear?
Well, I didn't begin it. You chaps did. It's always the way with the inartistic professions. When they're beaten in argument, they fall back on intimidation. I never knew a lawyer who didn't threaten to put me in prison sooner or later. I never knew a parson who didn't threaten me with damnation. And now, you threaten me with death. With all your talk, you're only one real trump in your hand, and that's intimidation. Well, I'm not a coward, so it's no use with me.
I'll tell you what you are, sir. You're a scoundrel.
Oh? I don't mind you calling me a scoundrel a bit. It's only a word. A word that you don't know the meaning of. What is a scoundrel?
You are a scoundrel, sir.
Just so. What is a scoundrel? I am. What am I? A scoundrel! It's just arguing in a circle. And you imagine you're a man of science.
I have a good mind to take you by the scruff of your neck, you infamous rascal, and give you a sound thrashing.
I wish you would. You'd pay me something handsome to keep it out of court afterwards.
Bonington, baffled, flings away from him with a snort.
Have you any more civilities to address to me in my own house? I should like to get them over before my wife comes back.
Louis resumes his sketching.
My mind's made up. When the law breaks down, honest men must find a remedy for themselves. I will not lift a finger to save this reptile.
That is the word I was trying to remember. Reptile.
I can't help rather liking you, Doobie-Da, but you certainly are a thoroughgoing specimen.
You know our opinion of you now, at all events.
Louis patiently puts down his pencil.
Look here. All this is no good. You don't understand. You imagine that I'm simply an ordinary criminal.
Not an ordinary one, Doobie-Da. Do yourself justice.
Well, you're on the wrong tack altogether. I'm not a criminal. All your moralizings have no value for me. I don't believe in morality. I'm a disciple of Bernard Shaw.
That's enough. I wish to hear no more.
Of course, I haven't the ridiculous vanity to set up to be exactly a Superman. But still, it's an ideal that I strive towards just as any other man strives towards his ideal.
Don't trouble to explain. I now understand you perfectly. Say no more, please. When a man pretends to discuss science, morals, and religion, and then avows himself a follower of a notorious and avowed anti-vaccinationist, there is nothing more to be said. Not, my dear Ridgeon, that I believe in vaccination in the popular sense any more than you do. I needn't tell you that. But there are things that place a man socially, and anti-vaccination is one of them.
Bernard Shaw. I never heard of him. He's a Methodist preacher, I suppose?
No. No! He's the most advanced man now living. He isn't anything.
I assure you, young man, my father learned the doctrine of deliverance from sin from John Wesley's own lips before you or Mr. Shaw were born. It used to be very popular as an excuse for putting sand in sugar and water in milk. You're a sound Methodist, my lad, only you don't know it.
It's an intellectual insult. I don't believe there's such a thing as sin.
Well, sir, there are people who don't believe there's such a thing as disease, either. They call themselves Christian Scientists, I believe. They'll just suit your complaint. We can do nothing for you. Good afternoon to you.
Sir Patrick rises. Louis runs to him piteously.
Oh, don't get up, Sir Patrick. Don't go. Please don't. I didn't mean to shock you. On my word. Do sit down again. Give me another chance. 2 minutes more. That's all I ask.
Sir Patrick is surprised by this sign of grace, and a little touched. He sits down.
Well.
Thanks, awfully.
I don't mind giving you 2 minutes more, but don't address yourself to me, for I've retired from practice, and I don't pretend to be able to cure your complaint. Your life is in the hands of these gentlemen.
Not in mine. My hands are full. I have no time and no means available for this case.
What do you say, Mr. Walpole?
Oh, I'll take him in hand. I don't mind. I feel perfectly convinced that this is not a moral case at all. It's a physical one. There's something abnormal about his brain. That means probably some morbid conditioning affecting the spinal cord. And that means the circulation. In short, it's clear to me that he's suffering from an obscure form of blood poisoning, which is almost certainly due to an accumulation of ptomaines in the nuciform sac. I'll remove the sac.
Do you mean operate on me? No, thank you.
Never fear. You won't feel anything. You'll be under an anesthetic, of course, and it will be extraordinarily interesting.
Oh, well, if it would interest you and if it won't hurt, that's another matter. How much will you give me to let you do it?
How much? What do you mean?